God bless you and praise the Lord, everyone. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church. It is Tuesday, July 13th in the year 2021, and we welcome you to our weekly Pastoral Connect conference call, where we journey through the Word of God and we spend time in God's presence through prayer. We want to welcome you tonight to our class and prayer session. And I'm going to ask that you let me know if you're able to see what's on the screen. I want to make sure that everybody is able to see it. Praise the name of God. So you can reply in the chat. Okay, thank you. Some folks are getting a little advanced, I see, in the use of Zoom. Excellent, excellent. Thank you for your confirmation. And so let us go into the lesson. I wanted to just reiterate for you what we touched on 2 weeks ago. The Lord just impressed upon me to share this with you all because it's important for you to understand that prayer is a powerful thing, and the devil does not want you to operate in the power of your prayer life. Your prayer life is powerful. Your prayer life is a threat to the devil. And I want to encourage you to know that God is a prayer-answering God. We have shared with you the fact that the capacity of your faith is determined by how much of the word in a particular area you have heard, received, and act upon. You've got to build your spiritual muscles. And the word of God is what builds faith muscle. Faith muscle is built by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we want to underscore to you the fact that here we have seven steps to answered prayer. Now, I shared with you before that this is not something where you talk about seven steps to do this and you do it and it's going to work. You click your heels, you jump up and down and spin around and say hallelujah 20 times and God is going to open up a door and perform a miracle for you. No, this is not a formula for luck. This is not something that suggests that you do these things and things are just going to automatically happen. No, you've got to align your heart with God. And what this is simply a biblical roadmap, a biblical outline founded upon the word of God to help you to understand how to be effective in your prayer life. Every single one of these 7 points is based upon the word of God. Number one, decide what you want from God. James chapter 1. Verse 6 through 8. Number 2, find scripture to support your petition. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Compared to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 9. Number 3, ask in Jesus' name. John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. John chapter 16, verse 23 through 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. And James chapter 1, verse 17. Number 4, believe that you receive your petition. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24. Number 5, refuse to doubt. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 through 20. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. James chapter 4, verse 7. Number 6, meditate on the promises. In other words, reaffirm the word in your spirit. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Psalms 1, verse 1 through 3. And then number 7, thank God in advance. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Actually, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 24 belong to item number 6. Again, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 24 belong to item 6. Meditate on the promises. And so I wanted to share this with you. I wanted to reiterate this to you because this is extremely important and foundational for strengthening you in the area of your prayer lives. You are a person who has been anointed with power to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avail much. You are anointed with power to pray. Glory to God. I'm going to say this one more time. You've been anointed with power to pray. I want you to make a note of that because the enemy wants you to think and feel inferior. You are not inferior. God has made his church the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. We have been raised up together and been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Christ is the head of the body, and we are the body, which is the church. And we thank God that our position is not earned by our own works. It is not by the works of the flesh that we have this exalted state. No, the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet. In other words, made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I want you to understand that your new birth experience has put you in the light. Glory to God. You are no longer in darkness, but you walk in the power of the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want to encourage you tonight, underscoring our theme and motto for this year, it shall be done in 21. If ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. You need to open your mouth and declare it. You don't need to unmute your phone, but I want you to open your mouth and declare it. I want you to write it in your notes. It shall be done. It shall be done. And as we go through the second half of the year, I want to remind you of what we are doing to get it done. This theme for 2021 would mean nothing if it didn't challenge us to take action. You are called into action by the Holy Ghost. You have been activated by the anointing, and the devil cannot stop the anointing that's on your life. Glory to God. And you have been anointed to accomplish. Glory to God. Some of you have already experienced this, because despite the adversities that have come in your life, you have progressed, you have accomplished. And the Holy Spirit wants me to encourage you to keep moving forward, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit is going to strengthen you with all might, according to his glorious power, oh God, with patience, grace, long-suffering, and joy. And I want you to understand that the devil is angry and mad, but he can't do nothing about it. Number one, I want to encourage you all. This is for all of us. Everyone that's rolling with us, everyone that's going with us, everyone that's following this ministry, members and friends and loved ones and supporters. This is not limited to just us, but to anyone under the sound of my voice, anyone to whom God has entrusted me to share his word. I share this with you with Holy Ghost zeal and fire. Number one, each person is to identify three things that you will commit to completing by November 30th, 2021, to be identified as soon as possible and shared by way of email. My email address is BeulahTabRocks@AOL.com. That's BeulahTabRocks@AOL.com. I want you to understand that there is something powerful that the enemy doesn't want to be released in your life. And I want to encourage you, birthing is about to take place. And even when it looks like the sun, somebody one time said, even when it looks like the sun wasn't going to shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the sky. Ah, God, I feel the anointing on this line right now. Each person. Now, you may say, Pastor, I didn't even finish the first three that I identified for myself in the beginning of this year. And beloved, I want to encourage you. That's okay. Work on it. If you, whatever you didn't finish, pick it up and get it done. Hey, this is not to condemn you. This is not to belittle you. This is not to call anybody out. This is not to make anybody feel bad that they didn't get it done. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're praying for you. We're praying for everybody on this line. And tonight, I'm going to ask that one of the things that the prayer leaders who are designated to lead us in prayer tonight pray for is the encouragement of the hearts of those that are trying to get it done. The Lord does not make you condemned. His spirit does not condemn. His spirit encourages. His spirit will convict. It will cause people to come to an awakening of where they need to get their lives together. But he won't break you. That's not God's plan. A bruised reed, he's not going to break. And a smoldering flax, he's not going to extinguish. He's not going to try to hurt. He's going to try, and he's here to heal. He's here to heal. Hey, he's here to heal. He is a healer. And so, beloved, if you got your three done, good for you. Get another three. If you didn't get your three done, no problem. Work on it, because it shall be done in 21. And what are we looking at? What are we talking about? Three things that fit into the model of the guidelines we shared with you before. Number one, it must be specific. Number two, it must be something that can be measured so that you know that you can measure it to determine whether you've accomplished it or not. It must be achievable, something that's within the scope of your ability. It must be relevant, something that will add to your life, something that has meaning, not just something on a list to say, I'm checking this, I'm putting it on a list and I'm checking it off, and so I pat myself on the back. It has to have meaning. Let it be something that has meaning for you. And E, it must be something to be done by a set time. And some of you that are astute will notice that each sentence has a word that's capitalized. And those of you that will take it even further will see that there's the acronym embedded in each one, the letter embedded in each sentence forms the acronym that describes the kind of goal that we're talking about. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based. S-M-A-R-T, SMART goals. Carefully design these goals and plans. Don't frivolously put them together. And let's make it clear, something where we can see progress and determine whether or not we've actually been making progress. We don't want to put something up on the board just to put it up on the board and then get excited about it, and it really doesn't have any impact, it doesn't have any teeth to it, and basically it's just something that we say we got done. Oh no. And on top of all of this, I want to give you something here when we look at this again, because I want to emphasize and I want to underscore, it shall be done in 21. And now I'm going to need a couple of people to read what's on the screen tonight. I need some volunteers. All you've got to do is read what's on the screen. Praise the Lord. You don't have to turn to anything. You don't have to find anything. As a matter of fact, I found it for you and I put it on the screen. Amen. Just let me know. I got Sister Tinley. Thank you, Sister Tinley. She's going to take the first one. Sister Lynette, I need you to get ready for the second one. Praise the name of God. And then after Sister Lynette, somebody can get the third one. There's only going to be three. Let's go, Sister Selena. Amen. So Sister Tinley, Sister Alexander, and Dr. Marbury. All right. Sister Tinley, the first one, please unmute yourself, my sister, and read this. Put this out there in the atmosphere. You're not just reading it for everybody else. You're reading this over your life. Sister Tinley.
Habakkuk 2, verses 2 through 3, the message. And then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time.
My God, I could feel the anointing as Sister Tinley read that. And I want you to embrace this. This is the word of the Lord for you tonight. Glory to God. This is the word of the Lord for you tonight. The principles that I'm sharing with you, they are not just principles that are pulled out of thin air. I want you to see how to make the word of God relevant, how to apply the word of God to right now. How do you make the word of God active in your day-to-day experience, in your day-to-day existence, in your day-to-day planning? This is it. Write it down. You have a vision. God has put a vision in your spirit for what he wants to do. And I know it's inside of you. I know God has put something in your spirit. And the Holy Ghost is compelling me to encourage you to write it. Write this. Write it down. Write what God put in your spirit. Use these goals to craft what God has put in your spirit. You have the substance. You've got the substrata. You've got the building materials. These goals are going to bring to pass the thing that God has put in your spirit, because sometimes people just don't know how to move forward with their destiny in God, how to move forward with what God has put in their spirit. I am helping you to understand how to put it together. God has put something in your spirit. You need to have a plan now. Sometimes God will give an inspiration, and sometimes people will just run on that inspiration. They've got no plan. They've got no strategy. They don't understand. They haven't prepared themselves. The scripture says nobody builds a house without first counting up the cost. Nobody goes to war without first counting up the cost. If you are going to enter into a venture that's going to take you to your next level, you got to count up the cost. And putting the goal together helps you to count the cost, to understand what it's going to take. And I feel in my spirit, as it was said in the scripture, it's aching to come. What God has put in you, it's aching to come. And the enemy has tried to cause you to sit down on it, cause you to procrastinate with it. But the devil is a liar. It will come. It will not lie. And even if it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on the way. It will come right on time. There's something about to unfold in your life, and the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness to you that it's a part of the plan of God. Amen. Sister Alexander, praise the name of God. Proverbs chapter 29:18. Please unmute yourself there. Read what's on the screen. Let it sink into your spirit. Speak it over to people listening right now. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the Message version. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed.
My God, my God, you need to understand the power of your vision. The power of your vision. Your vision is powerful. Hey, your vision is powerful. Your vision is powerful. When you can't see by faith, you stumble. The Bible says that we are not walking in darkness, but we have the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now, when we walk in light, we don't entertain darkness. We don't play with darkness, because there's a difference between the darkness and the light. In creation's story, it talks to us about how God brought a separation between the day and the night. There was a light to rule in each case, but there was a separation between the two. I don't know how you feel about it, but God is the God of the day, and he's even God at the night. He's with you when you can see, and he's with you when you can't see. And sometimes we are in a place where we cannot see our way, not due to any fault of our own. We may be feeling the weight of adversity. We may be dealing with people who are rising up against us, saying all manner of evil against us falsely, but lift up your head. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit gave me this word out of Psalm 24 this past Sunday. Come in, King. Come in. Come in. We want the King of Glory to come in. And I'm telling you right now that when you make your ascent into the presence of God, that the enemy is going to try to get in your way. But don't you worry about a thing. When you attend, when you make priority the things that God reveals, you will walk in a blessed state. People that resist the revelation walk in darkness. Stop complaining about this way. Stop complaining about living holy and living clean. Stop murmuring. That's what Israel did. Let us learn from the failure of a nation who complained against the God that brought them out of Egypt. God brought them out with a mighty outstretched hand. He delivered them from the oppression of the Pharaoh. Oh God, Exodus is the book of deliverance. And I don't know why the Holy Ghost has got me talking about deliverance, but somebody on this line needs deliverance. Somebody on this line listening to this message, listening to this lesson tonight, you need deliverance. And to need deliverance is not a problem. Oh, God. To need deliverance is not a problem. To resist it, to reject it, that's the problem. Because all of us need to be delivered. None of us were born saved. We had to be born again, because the first time didn't do it. The first birth brought us into sin. The new birth brings us into salvation. And so tonight, no matter what you are in, no matter what you've been in, no matter what you've played with, the spirit of deliverance is on the line. For the Lord is that spirit. And glory. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I speak liberty on this line right now. Everybody won't be able to see what God is doing in your life, but I need you to make a note in your notes that the Lord is blessing you right now. Oh my God. Let's go on. The third passage of scripture that I want to share with you tonight as it relates to this goal setting and goal accomplishment. Oh God, let me pause there 1 minute. I don't just want you to write down the words goal setting. I want you to write down goal accomplishing. Goal accomplishing. This is a strategy to accomplish my goals. This is a strategy to accomplish your goals. Dr. Marbury, I'm going to ask you to prepare to read the last passage to unmute yourself. This is a strategy for goal accomplishment. And I'm going to speak this over somebody right now. You may or may not feel this, but I'm speaking over you right now. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. Dr. Marbury, the last passage of scripture here, please unmute and share this. Read it. Read it for yourself and read it for those that are listening. Please proceed.
Early in the morning, a servant of the holy man got up and went out. Surprise, horses and chariots surrounding the city. The young man exclaimed, "Oh, master, what shall we do?" He said, "Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side." Then Elijah prayed, "Oh God, open his eyes and let him see." The eyes of the young man were open, and he saw a wonder, the whole mountainside full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elijah.
My God, my God, my God. I want you to understand that when the odds seem to be against you, that God is against the odds. I want you to see that in this particular passage, we've got two people, one who is a young man and one who is seasoned. There's a difference between the attitude of the seasoned versus the attitude of the unseasoned and untested, or those that fail to learn from the lessons that have been presented. Gehazi was the assistant to Elisha. He was a young man. He was Elisha's minister or his assistant or helper. And as it was, God was revealing to Elisha the plans of the king that was trying to come up against the people of God. The king thought that because every time they went after they have put together their well-crafted strategy to overcome the Israelites, that every time they went to do something, it seemed as if the Israelites knew what they were going to do, that the Israelites knew that they were coming. And this happened twice. It happened three times. The king finally got upset beyond measure and thought that he had a traitor in his midst. He brought his council together and asked them straight out, "Who amongst us is revealing the plans, our battle plans?" And it was revealed to one of his soldiers, one of his leaders in the council, that there was a prophet in the land. And the prophet was revealing the secret that the king had and even things that were private. And so the king sent this hit squad to get Elisha. They knew where Elijah was at. Elijah wasn't hiding from them. And they went and they surrounded Elijah in his camp. And when the young man, Gehazi, rose up in the morning to tend to the horses, this is what he saw. The whole city that they were in was surrounded by the enemy's horses. And the young man cried out to Elisha, "What shall we do?" That is the response of those who don't understand who's on their side. Look at the words and response of Elisha. You can almost see that his deportment and his attitude is one of calm and composure compared to the frenzied, chaotic response of the young man, where even in the text, the young man's responses are described as an exclamation, and the sentence ends with an exclamation point. emphasizing something that's being said, demonstrating that there is passion and that there is emotion in what is being said. And what that emotion is fear. It's doubt. It's worry. Elisha realizes what's going on in the young man's heart, because out of the abundance of a person's heart is where they're going to speak. Elisha told him, don't worry. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of the young man. And after Elisha prayed, the young man saw with his eyes what he couldn't see before. He saw after the prayer what he couldn't see before. I'm talking to somebody on this line right now. Don't you stop praying, because you're going to see what you didn't see before. You're going to see it after you pray. Your prayer is going to bring clarity to your sight. Your prayer is powerful. Your prayer is powerful. Your vision is powerful. And your prayer will bring clarity to your sight. God, I feel the Holy Ghost on this line. Hallelujah. I want to give this to you. Praise the name of God again. The goals, specific. Make your goals specific and narrow for more effective planning. You don't want it to be broad, because the broader it is, the harder it is to really pinpoint it, to say that you got it done. Measurable. Define what evidence will prove you're making progress and reevaluate when necessary. Attainable. Okay. Make sure that you can really accomplish your goal within a certain time frame. Relevant. Your goal should align with your values and long-term objectives. And then finally, time-based. Set a realistic, ambitious end date for task prioritization and motivation. If you got a deadline for a thing, that generally causes you to move more deliberately, move more precise. And so if we're talking about a goal, for example, that may not fit this, somebody may say, I want to be a better man. I want to be a better woman. I want to be a better parent. Now, those may sound noble. I want to be a better worker. I want to become management material. I want to grow so I can get promoted. Now, those are all great goals. They sound good, but they don't fit the bill. They're very vague. They're not measurable. It may or may not be something that can be attained. It may have no relevance to a person's life. And if you don't even set a time to it, then it's really not a goal at all. You're just kind of wishing. When you put a goal together properly, it takes it from being a wish and turning it into a goal. And that's the thing that's going to distinguish you here. And so I want to let you see this. Let this soak in a minute. Praise the name of God. Because I want you to understand we're in the process of building. We are building one another. We are building the kingdom of God. We are building our lives. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Let's get it done. Building, building, building. Glory to God. This is where we ended up last week. The first three verses were verses that we had already shared. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3, Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27, Luke chapter 6, verse 47 through 49. Tonight, we start from here. So I need some volunteers tonight. I need volunteers. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 18, James chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Praise the name of God. We're going to give some time. Give some time for people to get these verses. Praise the name of God. want to put this up. Okay. Amen. These are the verses there. Praise the Lord. James chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. Do we have someone for James? Sister Selena? Okay. 1 Corinthians? Okay. And 2 Timothy? I need someone for 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. I've got readers. All right. Bless your heart. Amen. All right. Let's get to it. I'm going to ask Sister Charisse. Again, Sister Charisse will be reading Romans chapter 8, verse 15 through 18. I'm going to share the verses for people that are listening so that they can get it. James chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. I'm going to ask Sister Charisse Jones to read this passage of scripture, speak it into this atmosphere. Speak it over these people of God. Speak it over yourself. Let's read it in Jesus' name.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Thank you, Sister Jones. The spirit that we operate from is not one of fear. You don't ever have to be afraid of anything or anyone. This word fear speaks to the idea of trepidation, anxiety, feeling threatened, or in harm's way, or in a place that's dangerous and unsafe. All of those things are the opposite of being with God. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The safest place, glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost, in the whole wide world, is in the will of God. In God's will, you are safe. It is the ark of safety. It is the place of divine protection, so that even when judgment comes out against the world, those that are in the will of God are safe. They are safe. And so we don't have the spirit. We don't have the spirit of bondage to fear. We have no reason to fear because we have the Holy Spirit. We have relationship. There's no resentment. It's relationship. And the Spirit will bear witness. In other words, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, to remind you, to inform you, to educate you that you belong to God. The Spirit will bear witness. It will communicate to you. It will help you to understand. When something bears witness, it speaks in unity. It speaks in agreement. The Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit. It will educate your spirit and quicken your spirit when you hear truth. That quickening power is what makes us alive, and it becomes so overwhelming at times that it causes our body to shake. That quickening that we feel, it is the it's the expression of the life that is in us by the Holy Ghost. The quickening power that makes us shake is because there's power on the inside. Oh, glory to God. And Paul says that we are children of God. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. And so the joint heirship with Christ positions us as sons. There is a sonship relationship. There is a family tie. Oh, God. The adoption has brought us into full experience of childbirth blessings, birthright blessings. This position of being heirs through adoption, it erases the past. Our past has been erased, and our position in Christ, by Christ, is solidified. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And Paul says there is an area of identification. This is where we relate. It's because this relationship blessing comes with a relationship responsibility. And that responsibility is that we arm ourselves with the mind to suffer. There's things you're going to go through just because you're a child of God. And sometimes people won't like you. People will talk about you. They'll say all manner of evil against you falsely. And sometimes these people are people inside the quote unquote church. Sometimes you won't feel like you measure up. And sometimes you may tell yourself, I can't do it. Stop telling yourself you can't do it. Please, please stop telling yourself that you cannot do it. We have to go through. We've got to go through. We've got to experience suffering. And everybody's suffering is different. But suffering is going through extreme challenges, extreme experiences. It's the extremes. And it's not that we want it. It's not that we bought it on. But it just comes on us because of our relationship with Christ. But it's okay. Because at the end of the suffering is glory. At the end of what you go through will be glory. And I'm speaking to somebody on this line right now. You will not have to wait to get to heaven to experience the glory of God. Lord, have mercy. I wish I was with us together, because right now I can see somebody getting happy. I wish we were together, because this would be a time to shout. You're not going to have to wait to get to heaven to see the glory. Whoo, my God, my God. Paul says, listen, the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Let's go on. James chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. Dr. Marbury, please.
Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy work, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thy believest that there is one God, thy does well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will thy know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Thank you, Dr. Marbury. It is important for us to understand all of this talk about it shall be done in 21, all of this talk about goal setting, et cetera, it's not going to mean anything unless we do something. You can sit and want your life to be better, but until you do something, it's not going to change. You can sit and feel sorry for yourself, or you can get on this bandwagon and let's ride into glory. It's going to take us through some valleys. It's going to take us through some waters. It's going to take us through some fires. Oh, God. But can I drop these words on you? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. God, if I was with you, I would say somebody need to help me out right here. Come through here with this. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Faith without works is dead. We've got to believe and let that belief translate into work. The scripture says that the devils also believe. So belief is not enough. Belief is accepting a thing with your mind. It's agreeing with it with your mind. Faith goes beyond belief because belief is a mental thing. Faith is a spiritual thing. And I say spiritual because faith is something that takes hold of your heart. It takes hold of your inner man. It affects the inside. Faith is more than what you do. Faith is the power to get it done. And everybody on this line, you have the power to get it done. Hey, because faith empowers you to do something. If what you are experiencing is no power, or if you're talking about something but you're not doing it, you're not exercising faith. If you're talking about making changes in your life, if you're talking about improvements, if you're talking about accomplishments, and you are not doing something, you're dreaming, you're wishing, you're hoping, but you're not faithing it. Faith it, not fake it. We got a lot of people faking it. There's a lot of talk. And if all you have is talk, you're faking it. F-A-K-E. Faking it. F-A-K-I-N-G. You're faking it. But if you speak and do, then you're faithing it. F-A-I-T-H-I-N-G. I want to encourage you to faith it. Let's go on. Sister Tinley, oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, please.
According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
Thank you, Sister Tinley. I want you to understand, everybody has their place in this plan. Everybody has their place in this plan. It's like a team. Everybody on the team has a position. And it's the responsibility of every person to play their position. Lord have mercy. And here the Holy Ghost is asking the question, are you playing your position? Are you playing your position? Some people are a part of a team, but they're not playing any position. And those people are usually people that you would normally see on the bench. They haven't measured up to play in the game. And so they are given the bench. But when they grow in their skill and they commit themselves to the development of their skill. They move from being on the bench to being on the field. They have taken the time. They have been at practice. They have worked hard. They have come out to the rehearsals. They have followed and learned the playbooks. They have committed themselves to the development of their skill. And so they get out on the field, get off the bench and get on the field. And some of you, the Holy Spirit, you have received and you have moved forward based upon the preparation you have made. You have been praying. You have been in the Word. You have been coming to Bible study. You've been faithful in worship. And God sees all of this. Some people say it don't take all of that. Those are the same people that don't have much, because in God, He causes you to triumph in Him. And having much is not about material prosperity. It's not about the accumulation of material things, because there's people that's got material and they don't have God. Oh, Lord, I want you to understand the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. You need to play your position. Everybody has a position. Some people are the architect, others are the contractor. Some people are the plumber, some people are the electrician, some people are the carpenter, some people are the bricklayer. Come on now, somebody sets up the fixtures. Somebody makes sure that the colors are coordinated. Somebody takes care of the carpet. Somebody makes sure that the window accessories are right. Oh, my God. But everybody has a place to play. Everybody has a position to be in. And God has caused me to be the guide in this matter, to help as a master builder to lay the foundation of God's word and to put the foundation before you that it is solid with the word of God. And here now, I am charging you to build on that word, build on what God has given us, build upon what God has placed in your spirit, but be careful how you build. You don't need to lay another foundation, because Jesus Christ is our foundation. I'm sharing with you the doctrines of Christ because you need to be disciples. You need to be disciples, not just listeners, but followers, not just hearers, but doers. Don't accept a membership mentality when it comes to church. The church is to be filled with disciples, not members, disciples, people who come, commit, grow, and reach. Come, commit, grow, and reach. And the cycle continues and continues and continues. And so you are being scrutinized. Your work is being evaluated. And some people's work is compared to gold, silver, and precious stones, things that don't burn in fire. Others, their works are considered the type that's compared to wood, hay, and stubble. And the Lord is going to prove or test the quality of what everybody does. We've sing a song, only what you do for Christ will last. And so each of our individual works, each of us will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and our works, those that have the Holy Spirit, your works will be judged. It will go through a fire test. And the issue is whether or not your works can stand the test of fire, because the fire is going to reveal the true sort of what your works have been. If your works abide, then it will be proven in the test of the Lord that what you did was of the quality of gold, silver, and precious stones. and you will receive a reward for your labors. You're not going to receive a reward because you work to be saved. We don't work for salvation. Salvation is a gift from God, not of works, so nobody can boast. But if your works are burnt up, that means it was considered of the type of wood, hay, or stubble, and it was of the sort that served your purposes and not the purposes of God. Only what you do for Christ will last. If what you do in the church is to serve yourself and it doesn't line up with the vision of the house, if it goes out and be independent, it doesn't support the vision, it doesn't support the leadership, it doesn't support auxiliary leaders, it doesn't support whatever area of ministry you're in, and everybody is in some place in ministry. Every man, every woman, every young person. And this is what's going to be tested, not whether you're saved or not, but whether you did something that contributed to the kingdom. Are you contributing to the kingdom? Your first area of obligation and contribution is your local church. And so the scriptures say, if your contribution is self-serving, that then your works will burn up in the fire test, but your soul will be saved. Because the test is not a test of your salvation, it's a test of the quality of your works. As a matter of fact, the only people that's going to be at this judgment seat are the redeemed. This is when, right after the rapture, those that have the Holy Spirit will appear before the Bema seat, B-E-M-A, or the judgment seat of Christ, that we may be judged according to the works that we have done. That's what this text is all about. And so it's important for you to understand, when you put your goals together, let it be quality. Let it be quality. Build on the foundation of the Word of God with quality. Only what you do for Christ will last. Let's get to the last verse and wrap this up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Sister Alexander.
Okay. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Thank you, Sister Alexander. This verse, in the context of our lesson, underscores a point about the foundation. Paul in 1 Corinthians spoke about the foundation to the saints at Corinth. Here in 2 Timothy, he's speaking to his son in the gospel, Timothy, about the foundation of God. Let's understand, the foundation is able to support you. It stands sure. There is no weakness in it. And as long as you stay built upon the rock is Christ Jesus, the rock is his word. If you give heed and obey the word of the Lord Jesus, you will be like a person who built their house upon the rock. The winds came, the rain descended, the waves beat upon the house, and the house did not fall because it was built upon a rock. You build your house upon the things of the flesh, upon your own selfish desires. If you exclude yourself from the commonwealth of the body of Christ and you live in contrary to the word of God, in resistance to the word of God, you may build your life, but you are building it on sand. And when the rains come, and when the winds blow, and when the waves beat upon your house, it may be built with good stuff, but the foundation is not good enough. and it will not stand the test of life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, when you build, when you are on the foundation of God, hey, you are building to stand through life. You have a seal. You have the signet of God. You've got the seal of God upon you. And it is the identifying factor because you are standing on a rock. The Lord knows them that are his, and he will defend his children. He will vindicate his own. He will support his people. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. You know, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, just as well as I do. The 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Come out from where sin is in dominion, because sin has a dominion. You've got to operate in God's dominion, where the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. Satan has a dominion, and it is sin. He is the prince and the power of the air. He is the spirit that operates in the children of disobedience. And you don't want to be there, because that's where judgment will fall. We've got to get into the prayer. I feel the power of God on this line. I want to encourage you, because God is doing some things right now for you. Tonight, we are about to pray for the men, for the women, for the young people. It shall be done in 21. I'm going to decrease. I want the prayer leaders to come up in the name of Jesus Christ. Make it powerful. Make it to the point. Let's hear God through your prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous has great power and influence with God. Our men's representative, our women's representative, our youth representative, at this time, in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you tonight. We praise you. We glorify you for your mercy. Hallelujah. For your goodness, Lord God, and your love, Lord. Lord, we say thank you today, Lord God, just for another day, just to come into your presence today. Thank you even right now, Lord God, for giving us the breath of life, Lord God. Hallelujah. You didn't have to wake us up this morning, Lord God. We could have been lost in hell for eternity, Lord. But Lord Jesus, because of your precious blood that you shed upon Calvary, Lord God, because you went to the cross for us, where we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy because of your blood. And we say thank you today, Lord God. Lord, please forgive us for anything we've said, done, or thought, any evil thoughts or wicked thoughts we've entertained, any corrupt communication that came out of our mouth, anything we've physically done with our bodies, Lord God, that didn't glorify you, Lord God. We ask you to forgive us right now, that even though our sin may be a scar because of the blood of Jesus that you set upon Calvary, that be made as white as snow. We thank you tonight, even, Lord God, for blessing, Lord God. We thank you tonight, Lord God, that we can trust you with all our heart and lean out to our own understanding. But in all those ways, that acknowledge you, Lord God, and you will direct our path, Lord God. Lord, help us to walk by faith, Lord Jesus, and not by sight, Lord God. Lord, we have goals that our bishop have given us to do, Lord God, and Lord, strengthen us, Lord God. And if we don't know what to do, Lord God, Lord, let us, give us the strength, Lord God, give us the mindset to come to you, Lord God, and to ask you, Lord, and to direct us, Lord God. We know, Lord God, hallelujah, that you can do all things, but fail, Lord God, and we put all our trust in you, Lord God. Lord, we just say thank you tonight, Lord God, for just being a wonderful Savior in our lives, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for delivering us out from the grip of the enemy, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, for having mercy upon our lives. We say thank you tonight, Lord God, from delivering us from pornography, from delivering us, Lord God, from a life of sin, from drinking, from smoking, from defiling our bodies, Lord God, from cursing, from lying, cheating, abusing people, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for making us whole, Lord God, because of your blood that you showed upon Calvary. We thank you tonight, Lord God, for your grace and mercy, Lord God. Continue to create in us clean hearts, Lord God, that we may worship you and we may praise you, Lord God, and we may glorify you, Lord God. Lord, we pray tonight for those who need deliverance, Lord God. There are those that are still might be in bondage, Lord God. But again, Lord, because of your blood, Lord God, we can be set free because your body was broken for us, Lord God. Because of that blood, we can be set free. We should be set free, Lord God. We can boldly come to the throne of grace and ask you for mercy, Lord God. And we say thank you tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord God, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, Lord God, we can move mountains, Lord God. And we have faith tonight, Lord God, that you can do all things, Lord God. We have faith, Lord God, in you, Lord God. We put our trust, Lord God, in you, Lord God. Lord, open our eyes. Whatever we're not seeing, whatever we're not understanding, Lord God, open our eyes, open our heart. Whatever we might not be getting even in our minds, Lord God, open our eyes, open our heart, Lord God. Oh, unclog our ears, Lord God, that we can hear you, that we can hear what the Spirit is saying, Lord God. Lord, we love you tonight, Lord God. We praise you tonight, Lord God. We glorify you, Lord God. That truly, 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 Lord God, hallelujah, is none like you, Lord God. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Hare Krishna can't do it. No one, Lord God, can do it but you, Jesus. No one can do it but you. And we say thank you tonight, Lord. Lord, we ask that you continue to look upon our bishop, Lord God. Continue to strengthen him. Continue to keep his mind. Continue to keep his strength, Lord God. Continue to keep his heart fixed on you, Lord God. Continue to look upon First Lady. We thank you, Lord, that she's a support and a help for our bishop, Lord God. And continue to strengthen her, even in her endeavors, Lord God. Continue to look upon the Michael children, Horace, Zoe, Sandra. Look upon all the grandchildren, Lord God. Continue to keep them under the banner of your precious blood, Lord God. Continue to keep them in the ark of safety, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, give them an extra special blessing, Lord God. We know it's not easy doing ministry, Lord God. But Lord, continue to bless them, Lord God. Give them a double portion, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we say thank you tonight, Lord God. We want all the saints, the men, women, and children on this line tonight, Lord God. Bless each and every one, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. If you don't, if there's somebody on tonight, on the line tonight, Lord God, that doesn't know you, we ask, Lord God, in these last days that you open up a door, you make a way. Open up their heart, prick their heart, whatever it takes, Lord God. Open their heart up right now that they may receive you as their Lord and Savior, Lord God. That they may be baptized in the name of Jesus, Lord. And that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as Spirit gives utterance as evidence. Lord, we just say thank you tonight, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. Hallelujah. We just praise you right now. We lift up your name on high. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are so worthy, Lord God. Hallelujah. To be praised from the rising of the sun, Lord God. Hallelujah. To the going down of the same, Lord God. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That name that's above every name. That name that where every knee will bow. Hallelujah. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Lord, we just lift up our hands, Lord God, and our mouth is filled with praise. And with a heart of thanksgiving, Lord God, we will bless thee, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we will bless thee, oh, Lord, hallelujah. We will bless thee, oh, Lord, hallelujah. With a heart of thanksgiving, hallelujah. We will bless thee, hallelujah, O Lord. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen and amen.
Father God, we come before you tonight, lifting you up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we love and adore, who is the creator of all things in heaven and on earth, Father God. We thank you tonight for bringing us together, dear Lord, in your presence tonight. We ask that you continue to let your light so shine upon us, dear Lord, so that we may be able to walk in the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we be appreciative of the things that you do for us day in and day out, Father God. Help us not to take you for granted, dear Lord. Help us, as Pastor said tonight, not to complain, but be thankful. Be thankful for what we have and not yearn for what isn't ours, that does not belong to us. What we see others may have, that is God's will for them. God wishes for us is ours. Let us not be envious of anything or anyone, dear Lord. Let us live our lives righteously in your sight, Father God. May we build our lives and our works and our goals on the foundation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, we cast our burdens upon you tonight, Father God. You said, our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We will not suffer, but we will be taken care of. No matter what we are going through, where we may be, or who we may be with, Father God, let us keep you close to our hearts, Father God, tonight. Our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We'll cast our burdens upon the Lord. He shall sustain us. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God is our keeper. May we continue to keep the faith, walk by faith and not by sight, lift him up in every aspect of our lives, and to remember that he is the rock. Christ is the solid rock on which we all stand. May we not fall and sink. May we not fall on sinking grounds. May we hold it together in the name of Jesus. May we continue to pray and lift one another up, Father God, in your other name, but your great, mighty, and powerful name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We pray for peace, love, your salvation, and your mercy. He said, we shall not die, but live to the works of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all the days of our life. We thank you in advance for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're about to do for us. May we continue to lift each other up in prayer as sisters and brothers, and live righteously in your sight and abide in your word, Father God, and to keep focused on Christ. From this day forth and forevermore, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise. We thank you for your mercy, your salvation, and most of all, we thank you for the Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we love and adore yesterday, today, and forever. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Father God, I thank you for this time, Lord God, the lesson that we heard tonight.
Later.
God, I thank you for the words of discipline. I thank you for the words of faith, oh God. I will thank you for the words of even discipleship, Lord, that we are more than conquerors and we can do whatever you have called us to do, God. How you order our steps and to follow your word, oh God, that we know who you are. We know what you've done, oh God, and we put our faith and our trust in you. Lord, we are here as your servants to continue to build your kingdom as you see fit, Lord. Let our ears be open to hear your word. Let our hearts be open to do your will, Lord Jesus. Have your way in us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word to us this day. We thank you that you are the creator of the ends of the earth, that all things were made by you, and without you was not anything made that was made. Thank you that you are the source of our supply. Thank you that you are the sovereign that we acknowledge and we yield ourselves to. Thank you that you are the word. God, you are the living word. You are the powerful word. You are the word made flesh and dwelt amongst us. We bless you tonight, O God, that you lifted us from places of sin and sadness. You have healed our hearts from wounds and worry. You have given us grace when the flesh is weak. You've given us a testimony to remind us of who you are. We rejoice in you, Lord, and we bless your name tonight. We focus on the power of your word. We focus on the brilliance of your omniscience. We focus, Lord God, on the might of your omnipotence. We thank you, oh God, for being so good. Your mercy endures forever. Your truth endures to all generation. And tonight we thank you that you look beyond our faults, the faults of every man on this line, the faults of every woman on this line, the fault of every young person on this line. You look beyond all of our faults. All of us have faults. All of us had faults. All of us have been faulty. And some of us are even acting faulty right now. But tonight we give you praise and glory because we speak a new day over this congregation. We speak a new day over every man, woman, boy, and young girl. We speak a new day over every family and into every home and into every heart. We thank you, oh God. We accept the challenge of your word. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that you've made us for more. Hey, you didn't bring us here for us to be less. You brought us here so we can be more, more than conquerors through him that loved us. More, Lord God, more of you is what we desire. We want more of you in terms of knowledge, more of you in terms of experience. We can't get more Holy Ghost, but we can be more yielded to the Holy Ghost that's in us. Hey, glory to God. Lord, I thank you tonight for the word that you've shared. I thank you for the faith that's been built. I thank you, Lord, for revival in our hearts, understanding and knowing that we don't live in fear. I rebuke the spirit of fear right now. I rebuke the spirit of unbelief. I rebuke the spirit of bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak the spirit of healing. I speak the spirit of love. I speak the spirit of power. I speak the spirit of a sound mind. I thank you for righteousness, for peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the grace of God, your grace that's sufficient for us. I thank you that you've given us your word and you have put it in our spirit. You helped us even now to rehearse it, to remind ourselves of it, to continue to keep your word in our thoughts, to meditate therein day and night, for therein shall we make our way prosperous, and therein shall we have good success. Tonight, I speak prosperity over your people through the word of God. I speak power and deliverance over these listening through the word of God. I speak clarity and revelation, through the word of God. I speak it over every heart right now, that we lift up our heads, that we be lifted up, and let the King of Glory come in. We give you praise tonight because the enemy has nothing over the redeemed. The devil has nothing on us. And even though we have to suffer, we know that if we suffer with Christ, if we suffer as Christ did, that we shall reign with him. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And Lord, I pray tonight that you will help us to take our eyes off of our flesh, take our eyes off of our limitations, take our eyes off of our proclivities, take our eyes off of our shortcomings, and recognize who you are, that you are God and you are God alone. And we yield ourselves to you, God. We make our petitions known unto you, God. We thank you for the power that comes from you, because we can only have power because we are connected to you. Power belongs to you. Hey, all power in heaven and earth is in Christ's hands. And tonight we believe you. I speak a breakthrough over every person on this line, breakthrough in every home, breakthrough in every family, breakthrough in every person, change of heart. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. oh God. We don't want anything to interfere with our relationship with you, because our relationship with you is the most important relationship we can have on this planet. And so give us wisdom in this area. Help us to apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And help us, Lord, to not waste time in the second half of this year, but to redeem the time. Help us, Lord, as we set the goals to accomplish them. Help us, Lord, as we set the goals to begin to know the feeling of accomplishment. Let some that have never felt that way before, let them taste of it. Let them feel the joy of it, that even though they've got to go through, that it's worth it. I pray your blessings, Lord God, upon every person again. I pray your blessings upon every soul. Even this week, I believe you, Lord God, that a miracle is about to take place. A miracle is going to happen. We expect a miracle. We don't murmur. We don't complain. Thank you, Lord, for taking murmuring out of our mouths. Thank you, Lord, for taking complaining out of our hearts. Oh, God, we want to be acceptable in your sight. And so, Father, even now, I commend these precious souls into your hands, spirit, soul, and body. Help us, Lord, as we remain faithful to the call to build our lives. We're anointed for building. And I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against any of us is going to prosper. Now may the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is somebody on this line that wants to repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and even if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I make this appeal to you right now that you give your life to God. If you need to repent, you can repent right now. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you and to strengthen you so that you can turn your back toward it. If you want to repent, you can do it right now. You can ask the Lord to have mercy right now. If you have not been baptized in the water for the remission of your sins and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, put it in the chat. You can chat it directly to me through Zoom. If you need to be baptized, some people have been walking in a way and they sometimes they feel they need to be baptized over again because they have strayed. They've allowed their lives to go off in a direction that they know that they need not, that they shouldn't have done it. And so sometimes some people get rebaptized. It's not necessarily scriptural, but sometimes somebody feels that they need to do that, and it's okay. But I want you to understand tonight, if you need salvation, Jesus is here. If you need to be forgiven, Jesus is here. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is here. You have no need to look any further. All you need is Jesus. And Jesus is here. If there's anybody that wants to be baptized, anyone that wants to pray for the Holy Spirit, again, you can put it in the chat. You can reach out to me by email. We want to make it possible for you to start your powerful walk with God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, I want you to get the Holy Spirit so that you can get all of what God has in store for your life. God has great things in store for you. And I want you to get everything. I want you to get the fullness of it in Jesus' name. And so again, if there's anyone that wants to be saved, if you need to be baptized, if you want prayer for more, please, you can put it in the chat and let me know, and we'll make a way to get in contact with you in the name of the Lord. God bless you on tonight. We love you. And by the grace of the Lord, we look forward to seeing you on next time. Please, let's remember to pray one for another. Please, let's remember to pray for the leadership of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith Incorporated. please let us remember to pray for me, your pastor. Please pray for my wife and our children. And let's pray one for another. We need each other. We are not lone rangers. We are the people of God. We are the community of the saints. We are the redeemed of the Lord. I love you very much. My prayers are with you. I want you to grow in a practical sense in applying the word of God to your life. Build, build, build. God bless you. Have a good night. We look forward to seeing you next time in Jesus' name.